We continue our reading of the Gospel of Matthew. We find ourselves today in chapter 24. We'll begin at verse 32. We'll go to the end of the chapter in verse 51. Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 32. Now, a few comments firsthand. Jesus is giving this very famous and valuable teaching about his second coming. And really, there's three things that happen. He first says, learn the lesson from the fig tree, that when a branch becomes tender and it puts out leaves, that means summer is coming. And so he means that there are going to be signs that accompany the second coming of Christ. Now, what's interesting here is it reminds us that these signs are primarily for the benefit of those people who are living at the time. The attempt to discern when Jesus is coming back and all the details in advance has proved failed. We'll see that it's actually, we're told it's not possible. But I'm reminded of the first coming of Jesus. It would have been very hard to piece through the biblical prophecies and to tell the story of Jesus before it happened. He will be born, he will be called a Nazarene. Out of Egypt I called my son. The king will come from Bethlehem. But you see, when it happened, it was obvious that this is the one the Bible was speaking about. This confirms what we were saying. And this is what's being said here about the signs of Jesus' second coming, that it will be evident and it will show you. Now, he goes on and says, no one knows, however, not even the angels of heaven, the day or the hour when Christ returns. Now, that's as definitive a statement as you can get. And so if some preacher or radio minister tells you that how many cults and heresies have come this way, that Jesus is coming on such and such a day, you may quote this to them. I remember some years ago I was listening to Harold Camping on the radio. And Harold, who had in many ways a godly ministry, but he got caught up, it's a long story, and he made predictions about when Jesus was coming back. And this caller called in and said, Brother Camping, the Bible says no one will know the day or the hour. He said, I'm not promising the day or the hour, it's the week and the month. And I said, we have lost the thread. We are not getting this. Jesus will come at a time that no one will know in advance. And he talks about how suddenly it will be by a comparison with the days of Noah. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Those people are just living. They're going on with life. They're giving, they're marrying and giving in marriage. They're feasting. They're going through all of life. And one day this age, my friends, is going to come crashing down. And the Son of God is going to return in his authority. And he will bring this age to an end. And that leads to the third teaching, therefore we must be ready for his coming. Now the Bible's teaching in this chapter and the next about being ready for Jesus' coming has been wrongly used to torment the minds of teenage evangelicals for generations, with the effect that there are thousands of Christians who dread the coming of Jesus more than anything else. Let me say this. How we teach about the second coming of Jesus, the result ought to be that we pray, Maranatha, come, Lord, let it be today. Paul says it's our blessed hope. And so this call to readiness is not something that makes it, oh no, Jesus might come and he might catch me in a sin condition. Well, he's certainly going to catch you in a sin condition because you haven't entered into heaven. No, that's not what he's saying here, that we're to be ready by being believers. You know, real believers. He gives the example of a steward who, you know, sometimes the master comes back and he finds the guy's a fraud. He's beating people and misusing the money. Well, Jesus, when he comes back, will know the difference between true faith and false faith. But the way to ready yourself for Jesus coming so that it's something you look forward to with joy is to believe in him and live authentically as a grace-filled Christian. This is not to be used at some circumstance. The exact timing of his coming might catch you at a weak moment and suddenly you're going to hell. And he is talking about hell here. It's very serious business. No, it's a saving condition. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. I have to say, if you're not a believer in Jesus, this ought to fill you with terror. Because he does come and he comes then to judge all those who are outside of him. Oh, believe in Jesus. And then while we wait, let us say, oh, Lord, it might be today. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. What does he say? Truly, I am coming soon. Well, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, beginning at verse 32 of chapter 24. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have to take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son of God, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know. And he will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever. Amen.